678 Shlishi Pasuk Yud Zayin Yud Ches 678. Okay, last time the Torah was speaking about a person whose tamei is not allowed to work on the mizbeach. He can't bring a carbon. And then the Torah was speaking that if somebody is ma'il behegdish, if somebody misuses things of the Beis HaMikdash, they have to pay an additional fifth, and so on and so forth. Now the Torah is speaking about which animals are allowed to be a korban, which animals are allowed to be sacrificed. So it says like the Vedaber Hashem Meishel Emer, Daber El Aaron Valbonav, speak to Aaron and his children, Valkol B'nei Yisrael, to all the Jews, and this is a mitzvah not only applying to the Kohen, but the Jews have to make sure the Kohenim keep the mitzvah. And the Torah says like this, Ish ish mi beis Yisrael, any Jew from the Jewish home, umin ager bi Yisrael, or a Jewish convert, ashi akrivu korbonai, which will bring his korban, l'chol nidreim, l'chol nidvaisam, for any of their vows or free will offerings, ashi akrivu l'ashem la'ela, that they will bring it as a korban to Hashem, the Torah will continue and tell you what needs to be done. Now, there is what the Torah says over here. There's neder and nedava. One is basically a vow, and one is what's called in English a free will offering. The difference between neder and nedava, the Gemara says, neder is if a person says, hare alai. It's upon me to bring a sacrifice. Nedava is when they say, Hare zu oila. They say, this animal is a korban. In other words, if somebody comes and says, they make a vow, that they swear that they're going to bring a sacrifice. That is on the person himself. So what happens if a person makes a vow they're going to bring an animal? They take the animal, they bring it to the Beis HaMikdash. On the way, the animal dies. The din is, they have to bring another animal. Because they didn't say, this animal is a korban. If they make what's called nedava, meaning they say, this animal is a korban, okay, so they're only sanctifying this animal. If the animal dies, it's over. They don't have to bring another animal instead. But if a person makes a neder, they say, I have to bring a korban. So even though the korban died, they still have to bring another one because it's upon themselves.
They have to verbally say it, or they can take
it. In order for it to become actual hegdish, they have to say it. And we're going to see soon about the expressions that the Torah is using. Okay? In other words, what the Torah is going to basically say, you need to bring an animal without a blemish. Just like we learned last time, or two times ago, whenever it was, that the Kohanim, in order to work on the Mizbeach, need to be perfect, because it's Hashem's home. If you want to bring something to Hashem, it needs to be perfect. You can't bring a blemished animal as a korban to Hashem. We're going to see in the Psukim soon, the implication of the Psukim, is what happens if somebody donates a blemished animal to the Beis HaMikdash. Now there are two types of donations. There were donations for the actual Mizbeach. Then there were donations to the Beis HaMikdash in general, which was called Bedek HaBayis. For instance, if somebody had a chair, okay, and they said, this chair is Hegdish. It's sanctified for the Beis HaMikdash. Obviously, you can't bring a chair as a carbon. Okay? Nevertheless, this chair became holy. It belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. What can they do with it? So whatever. If they need it in the Beis HaMikdash, they used it. If not, the Beis HaMikdash's treasurer, the Gizbar, as he was called, was able to sell it. If they didn't need it, they would sell it and use the money for whatever they wanted, whatever they needed in the Beis HaMikdash. So if somebody donates an animal to the Beis HaMikdash, even if it has a blemish, it's still sanctified, but it cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. Because a blemished animal cannot be brought on the Mizbeach. So the Torah says like this. This is the entire nation, okay? Or now, it's not only for the Kohanim, by the way. This pasuk is speaking to all Jews. A Jew cannot bring a carbon if it's blemished. And which means a Jew, if he knows the animal is blemished, he's not allowed to say this is for the Mizbeach. He's not allowed to sanctify it for the Mizbeach because it's not kosher for the Mizbeach. So he's not allowed to do it either. So the pasuk says in Yotes, the Tzein Chem, it has to be favorable for you. How is it favorable for you? Tamim Zachar, it has to be unblemished male. Babakar, in the cattle. Baksavim, in the flock. Ubeizim, in the goats. So this is what it needs to be done. It needs to be brought complete and male. So Rashi says that this is only if it's a behema. If it's an animal, as a carbon oila. If it's birds, do not have to be male. They could be female birds. And by a bird, the Gemara learns out from these psukim, the only blemish that disqualifies a bird from being a carbon, if it's missing a limb. But the Torah says, Tamim Zachar, because what does the Torah say? Babakar, Baksavim, Babizim. In the cattle, flock, and the goats. The Torah doesn't say the word birds. Right? So from here, the Gemara learns out that when does it have to be Tamim Zachar, male and complete without any blemish whatsoever, is only if it's animals. If it's anything else, it's not a problem.
Why male?
Huh?
Male is
why the Torah says it's basically exerce a kosev. There's no reason for it. The Torah says this is the way it has to be. Huh? Ksavim and kvasim are interchangeable. It's very interesting. Kavas and kesev, yeah. Yeah. In fact, if you look soon, look in Pasuk of Zion. You're coming up, yeah? Shor oy chesev oy eis. Something says kvasim b'nei shuna. That is interchangeable. Kavas and kvasim. They're both interchangeable. So now the Torah continues like this. L'tzayin chem, it has to be acceptable. And we'll soon see what that means. It has to be tamim zachar ba'bokeh ba'ksavim aviz. Now, what is l'tzayin chem? What does it mean it has to be accepted willingly? If it's blemished, it's not going to be accepted. In other words, it needs to be exactly the way Hashem wants you to do it. That's number one. Number two, the Gemara learns out, there's a concept that's called Kefin Eisei Acha Emer Reitzani. You beat him up until he says, I want. A carbon needs to be brought to Torah, says Lir Tzaynchem. You need to bring it willingly. What happens if a person committed a sin, and they have to bring a sacrifice, and they don't want to bring it? They don't want to bring it. So what does Beis Din do? They beat him up until he says, I want... Huh?
How did they know he sinned?
He was warned, there were witnesses, whatever. I mean, the guy, he sinned.
Because there's some that maybe nobody knows.
No, that nobody knows, obviously nobody knows. But we're saying, if people knew that he sinned, and he has to bring a carbon, and he refuses to bring a carbon, so the Gemara uses the expression, Kefin Eisei, you beat him up, until he says, I want to do it. Now, we learned already in the past the famous question that the commentaries ask, what type of willingness is that? You beat him up until he says, yeah, I want to. He doesn't want to. How does the Torah call that? So there's the famous Rambam.
The soul wants.
Every Yid wants to do what's right. The Yetzer Hara is forcing you to go against your will, against your nature. But the Rambam says, in the laws of Gittin, because that it also has to be done the same way. And the Rambam writes, every Jew really wants to do good. So therefore, the Torah says, L'tzeinchem. Kol asher b'mum, the Torah says in Pasuk Chof, any animal that has a blemish, lo yisakrivu, you cannot bring. Why? Ki lo l'ratzin yielochem, if it is, it will not be acceptable. Now, the third, l'chayda, there's a bunch of questions over here. the Torah says that a few times the Torah is saying the same thing. You can't bring a blemish, you can't bring a blemish. So the Torah is saying there's a few sins over here. One is for sanctifying an animal with a blemish. You get an Aveda. One is for shechting an animal with a blemish, you get a sin. And one is for sprinkling the blood on the Mizbeach of an animal that has a blemish. All these things you get a sin for. And they quote here from the commentaries of the Rambam that L'Chaira, even though there's a rule in Torah that Lav She'ein Bei Maisa, a negative commandment that's not, there's no action in it, you don't get whipped. L'Chaira, the guy said a carbon is Hegdish. Why should, I didn't do an action, I just spoke. Why should he get whipped? The answer is, this language is very powerful, because what's really happening is, your words are changing the animal from chol to kodesh, from mundane to holy. So you're actually doing an action. You're making it, changing it from one level, everyday chol, to a level of kodesh, to holiness. So therefore the commentators say that is still considered an action, and therefore the person would get lashes. That means if a person takes a blemished animal, they know it's blemished, and they say this is a carbon, they would get malchus, 39 lashes. If they were warned, you know, and the whole thing involved.
Do you know also, Robert, that when somebody cannot take the lashes, they give him only 3 lashes?
No. They give him amount that the doctor says they can get, but it has to be a number divisible by 3. Oh. That means if a doctor says the guy can handle 10 lashes, they'll give him 9. Oh. Officially, it's 39. Yeah. But if they say he can't handle 39, he can handle 20, they'll give him 18.
What about the person who can't handle it? Will die.
No, that's why the din is a doctor evaluated the person to see how many he could handle. Then the din is, let's say, Beis Din said he can handle 18, okay? And the Beis Din shliach is whipping, right? And at the number 16, the guy dies. So he's not at all liable for his death. Okay? What happens if the doctor said he can handle 18, and the guy gives him 19, and he dies, he's liable for his death. He murdered the guy. Accidental, whatever, but he did an act of misa. But if the doctor, and therefore the Beis Din, says, okay, he's getting 18, he can handle 18, and at 16, whatever happens, the guy dies, he goes free.
You couldn't buy the lashes?
Buy him? No.
What's the reference to
why did, because the Gemara, it's an expression, Meshaushalim B'malkis. The Gemara learns it out, I think, from the Pasikim, but the Gemara learns in Makis that it has to be divisible by 3. Lashes hurt. Yeah. Like the Singapore ones, you know, years ago. Okay, so Kol Asher by Mumla Yitzakriva, any animal that has a blemish in Allah to bring, Kilela Ratin Yelachem will not be favorable for you. The Ish Kiyakriv Zevach Shlomim Lashem. What happened, this is until now about a carbon oila. What happens if a person will bring a carbon shlomim, a feast offering, the Fali Nedered Eile Nedava, which is, again, an articulated vow, or as a free will offering, Babakar or Betzein, whether it's cattle or sheep, Tamim Yil or Otzing, again, it has to be willing, it has to be complete, Kol Mum LaYeh, but he's not allowed to have any blemish. Now, L'Cha'eda, why is the Torah speaking about a Karbon Shlomim? We just spoke about Eila. Because this is lesser holiness than a Karbon Eila. Eila was completely burnt on the Mizbeach. Shlomim was eaten by the owner and the Kayanim and the Mizbech, everybody partook of it. But also Shlomim was allowed to be a female. By Karban Eila, the Torah says, Tamim Zachar. It has to be male. Which excluded birds. Like we said, birds could be female for a Karban Eila. When it comes Shlomim, the Torah says it has to be Tamim Yelaratzim. Okay? But the Torah doesn't say Tamim Zachar. Because it doesn't have to be a male animal. It could be a female animal. But it cannot have any blemish. Now, what is this expression the Torah says, Lefale Neder? Lefale Neder means an articulated vow. Lefale Neder means to verbally say it. From here, the Gemara learns out that any time you make a vow, it has to be clear. The vow must be clear. If it's vague, you know, maybe I'll bring a carbon, you know, something like that. If it's not clear, it doesn't have a din of a vow. Another interesting din, you have to say what you think and think what you say. What happens if somebody wanted to say Ola? They wanted to say Ola and they said Shlomim instead. Okay? It's none of the above. Because what they said is not what they meant. And what they meant is not what they said. So therefore it's not binding yet as a vow. It has to be verbal. Number one, verbal. Fali means you actually speak it. And therefore if somebody, what somebody mentioned before, if somebody thinks I'm going to bring a carbon, halachically it's not a vow. If somebody, even forget about sacrifices. If somebody wants to make a vow. They're going to fast or whatever, you know, crazy vows people make. If you think it, it's not a vow. You have to say it. And when you say it, you have to mean it.
Better not to say it or mean it.
It's always better not to mean anything we say.
Why? Well, Robert.
What's it? What? No, it has to be said in front of God. In front of Hashem, it has to be said. You don't need a bezdin to make a vow. You don't need witnesses.
This is only when it comes to vows.
What?
This is only when it comes to vows.
Yeah. What else do you mean?
Oh, like if your wife wants you to buy cumin, but she calls you up and says, buy kamun. She meant to say cumin, but she says kamun.
Language school.
It's they learn, they should strengthen their communication skills. Skills. Not spills, skills.
Robert, what's the reason somebody would make a korban olah vow instead of a korban shlomim when the korban olah?
Because if they wanted to give a gift, sometimes a person wanted to give a gift that the whole thing should be burnt. We learned at the beginning of it, that's what they wanted. That's what the person wanted to do.
Why would you just do it? Why would you have to say it?
Because in order for the animal to become holy, it's not holy if you don't say it. You have to say, this is what it is. There is a concept, we learned about this in the past, it's not relevant here so much, but there's a passage that says, Dover emes bovavai, speak truth in your heart. So the Gemara says, it's brought down even in Shulchan Aruch about tzedakah, for instance, that even though you're not obligated to do it, because you didn't say it, but the proper thing is, if you think that you want to give X amount to tzedakah, the proper thing is to do it by tzedakah. And in fact, the Gemara tells a story. There was a Jew who once was davening. Okay, and a guy came to the middle of davening to talk business deals. The guy came to him, he was in the middle, the Jew was in the middle of davening. The guy came to him and said, I'll offer you $100 for something. But the Jew was davening Shmonesri, he couldn't answer him. So the guy thought he didn't offer enough. So he said 150. And the Jew still ignored him because he was davening. So the guy said 200. And then the guy finished the business. I mean, finished davening. And he said, this is so un-Jewish. The guy said to the guy, I'm selling it to you for 100. Because granted I couldn't talk, I was in the middle of davening. But when you offered me 100, in my mind I accepted it. Seeing though halachically, the bottom line, the guy still offered 200, he could have taken 200. The Gemara says, that the guy said because in his mind, and he quotes the pasuk, "Dover emes bilvavoy," you speak truth in your heart. That means if you make up something, you have to do it. So even though by tzedakah halachically it doesn't mean anything, what you think, but it's still in inyan is better to do it. Okay, so then the Torah says like this: "Fali neder l'ndava ba'boker ibat sein." Now, what is sein? Sein, like he says in the bottom of here, there's no exact definition for sein. Sein could include sheep and goats. Though even though izim is goats, but tzon, the word sein includes those type of smaller animals, like goats and sheep and so on. Kamum layiabai, it's not allowed to have any blemish. And the Gemara learns out for me another halacha, that if somebody takes a carbon and makes a blemish in the carbon, it's a negative commandment. Because the Torah says, kol mum lo yihyebei, which means you're not allowed to make a blemish in an animal. So there's two sins over here. You're not allowed to sanctify a blemished animal. And there's another law the Torah says, you're not allowed to make a blemish in an animal. That's already hegdish. That's why what they do in Eretz Yisrael, they're not supposed to do it, but this is what they do. What do you do today? The din of a bechor, firstborn animal, applies today in Eretz Yisrael. So what do they do when a farmer has flocks, okay, and they give birth to a bechor? So that bechor is holy. We don't have a base of migdash to bring it as a carbon, right? So what do they do? So the halacha is, you let it graze, yireh ad sheyistayif, which means, you let it graze until it gets a blemish. Once it gets a blemish, it's not kosher anymore for an animal, and then you can, you know, for a carbon, you can shecht it. So what some places they do, which you're not allowed to do, they'll put it in a very small pen, with a lot of barbed wire on it, for the animals to break something or cut something, besides the Tzar Balei Chaim aspect of it, but then you're actually actively making a mum in it, which is not such a good thing according to halacha.
Rabbi, you're not allowed to make a blemish in any animal?
No.
In animals,
you're not allowed to hurt any animal. But if you do it for an animal which was designated as a sacrifice, then you get a negative commandment. Okay, now the Torah is going to discuss blemishes of an animal. Okay, what are they? Averis, if it's blind, shover, if it's broken limbs, echorotz, or if it has a split eyelid, or yabeles, or it has a wart, or egorov, a yalefes, whether it's a dry skin eruption, a moist skin eruption, leisakrivo elel Hashem, which cannot bring, these are called blemishes. Okay, if it's blind, or if it's broken, or if it has all these types of things, it's forbidden. And you cannot make them as a fire offering on the Mizbeach Lashem. And Rashi again says, why is the Torah telling us the same thing three times? To teach me you can't sanctify it, you can't shecht it, you can't squirt the blood on the Mizbeach. And then he says like this, V'shar v'seh saru'a v'kolut. What happens, a bull or a sheep, which is sarua, means one limb is longer than the next, like one leg is bigger than the next. Nedava tasa esei, you can make it as a donation to the Beis HaMikdash, but ulaneda layiratze, it cannot be a vow offering as a carbon. And this we said before, an animal that has a blemish, you're allowed to donate to the Beis HaMikdash. They can't use it as a carbon. Okay, but they can sell it, they can ride it, whatever is needed for the Beis HaMikdash. For the money value of it. Not as a carbon. But it depends what the mum is. If it has a broken, no, you can't. But again, in the Beis HaMikdash, what they did with these animals, they sold them, not necessarily to eat. They sold them for whatever, to Goyim, whatever, and they took the money and used it for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash. Where did they get money for the upkeep of the Beis HaMikdash? What did, the Beis HaMikdash had the upkeep. No, there was a... It had a... Well, there are a bunch of pushkis that people gave money, but people donated things to the Beis HaMikdash. You know, they donated their cars, boats, RVs to the Beis HaMikdash. And the people, the Beis HaMikdash, sold them and used the money for whatever they needed. That's how they... That was their... you know, the budget a year. Things need to be fixed. Things need, I mean, they need the money in the Beis HaMikdash like anything else. To pay for a lot of expenses.
Rabbi, can I ask you a question?
You just did.
No, another one.
Yeah.
What does it mean when Hashem says that doing what is right and just is more desired by Hashem than sacrifice?
So here it's saying that if you want the sacrifice to be accepted by Hashem, you need to do it the way Hashem wants us to do it. In a more general nature, many people, when you speak to them about Yiddishkeit, right? You tell a guy, you meet a guy in the street, and you ask him, put on tefillin. He says, nah, that's not, I don't need it. He says, right? He says, me and God, we have our own relationship, yeah? I'm a Jew in my heart. It's a cardiac Jew, it's called.
Yeah.
A Jew in heart. Sometimes they can get, God forbid, a heart attack from so much Judaism in the heart. They can, God forbid, get a heart attack. So they say that, you know, I don't need to do this mitzvah to be connected to God. I could do it my own way.
Yeah.
That, or somebody could say, I want to bring a carbon. I want to bring this. Listen, this is what I want to bring. God, take it or leave it. You know? So the Torah says it doesn't work like that. If you want a connection with God, it has to be on God's terms, not on our terms. Okay? If Hashem says, you want to become close to me, then you have to do it the way I say it. Why? It's a very simple thing. Whatever I do is limited. I'm a person, it's limited. Right? No matter what, the greatest thing in the world that I do, it's still limited. So there's no way I can reach the unlimited Hashem if I do limited things. The only way a limited Jew could reach the unlimited Hashem is when Hashem says, this is what I want you to do. And then the Jew does it. So because they're doing what Hashem told them to do, then they reach the unlimited Hashem. But if I decide to do something for Hashem, it's worthless. How could I, limited, reach the unlimited? It doesn't work. It can't work. Right? So Hashem says, you want the carbon to be willing, accepted? You need to do it on my terms. Number one, as we'll soon learn, no blemishes. Number two, the Kayanim have to, you know, not think after the time and the place and all that that we learned before. The Torah says this is the only way the sacrifice will be acceptable, is if you do it my way. So Hashem says, my way or the highway. But that's the only way it could be done. And otherwise, it's not, he says, if you bring it, lo yirotze, it's not going to be acceptable. That's all. In fact,
what?
Not acceptable. Lo yirot, it's Hebrew. It won't be acceptable.
If it's not willing?
Not willing. And if it's not the way Hashem wants it to be brought. Okay, then the Torah just continues like this. Umar, these are different blemishes. The genitals are squeezed, crushed, v'chor is torn off or cut. Le'sakrivu l'Hashem. You cannot bring just such animals to Hashem. And this is a very interesting din. This is a very important din that people have a lot of problems with it today. The Torah says you cannot sterilize an animal. To neuter an animal or, you know, what?
They sterilize milk, not the animal. What do you mean?
You know what they do to dogs today? When you buy a dog, you have to neuter it, that it can't reproduce.
Yeah.
To sterilize the animal.
Not like sterilize,
They didn't stay. Sterilize means that you make it sterile, that it cannot reproduce. So here it says, if it's crushed, whatever it is, or cut, such an animal is not kosher to Hashem. And then the Torah adds, uba'artzechem leisasu, you're not allowed to do it in your land. Meaning, according to halacha, it is biblically forbidden to be misares, which is the Hebrew word for it, to neuter or sterilize an animal. And not only that, a Jew is not allowed to ask a goy to do it for them either. So halachically, it's completely forbidden to sterilize or to neuter pets.
What if you own one?
Huh?
What if you own one?
If you didn't do it, and you bought it already neutered, then it's fine. The sin is you doing it or asking a guy to do it for you.
We're not talking about, we're talking about pets.
Pets. What?
If you did it before you knew, it's gone.
So what are you supposed to do? No, because it's a very big problem, because sometimes you have the laws, you know, they make you do it, and you're not allowed to do it. So the only way is, like, again, it's a very difficult heter, because you basically have to sell the animal to the guy, okay, and explain to the guy that I am not allowed to neuter an animal that belongs to me. I can't even ask a non-Jew to do it for me, okay? So again, this is a very big loophole. You tell the guy, listen, it's your animal. I'm not going to tell you what to do with your animal, you know, but you can't tell a guy to do it.
So this is a lot of tricks to do it. Because, you know, in case of a stallion, it's very dangerous to ride a stallion. So people neuter them, make them guilty.
Here they bring down, Sephorna. Here, castrate, because the goyim commonly castrated the finest animals to maintain their physical beauty. Even though this mutilation is not apparent to the naked eye, so you can't even tell it necessarily. Such an animal is not acceptable to Hashem, because an animal that cannot reproduce is lacking physical perfection. But the Torah says, but here the Torah says clearly, the Torah is adding these three words. That means not only in the Beis HaMikdash. First the Torah says you can't bring such an animal as a korban. Then the Torah says, it's forbidden to do it even in the country. And by the way, the Gemara learns, even though it says Artzichem, which means Eretz Yisrael, but the Gemara and Rashi quotes that it doesn't only mean in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi says, here, Davar Zeh Lasad Shum Behem of Afilu Tmeya. Okay? He says, Rashi says, it doesn't mean only in Eretz Yisrael. It can't mean only in Eretz Yisrael, because mitzvahs that have nothing to do with the land can't apply only in Eretz Yisrael. It's forbidden for a Jew to sterilize an animal, right? So Rashi says it can't only mean Eretz Yisrael, it's all over. What it means, ba'artzichem leisasi, Rashi says what it means is, kol asher bi'artzichem, any type of animal, meaning kosher animal, treifa animal. Somebody might think, okay, the Torah speaks about sacrifices, so it would mean a kosher animal that would be kosher for a korban, that you can't castrate. But how do I know even treifa animals, like a dog, a cat, whatever it may be? The halacha is, the Torah says, "Ubaartzechem leisasu," means any type of animal that exists in your land, it's forbidden to do.
But that one is for...
And it's a very big problem today, I want you to know.
For the case of safekeeping and not being injured.
That's not... That doesn't... You're not allowed to do it. It's a very big problem, because people do it. But
it's the law of the land. Does that have something to do with it?
The law of the land cannot contradict halacha in Torah if it's not a monetary thing. Because the law of the land, by the way, doesn't say you must own a dog and you have to be misaris, castrated, yeah? Don't own a dog and you don't have the problem. That's number one. Number two, even if there is a law of the land that you need to own a dog and you have to castrate him. When it comes to mitzvahs, Torah can't. I mean, when Torah says dina de malchusa dina, the law of the land is a Torah law that you need to keep. That means things that don't contradict Torah. Like if the communists say you have to desecrate Shabbos, that doesn't mean you have to desecrate Shabbos because that's the law of the land. But then you're not allowed to desecrate Shabbos. Dina malchusa dina means if the government says you can't go through a red light, or you can't talk on your cell phone while driving, or you whatever, so then that's the law of the land. It's not going against Torah. Torah doesn't say you should talk on your cell phone, or Torah doesn't say you, so then you have to keep the law of the land. But you can't go against Torah law because of the law of the land. Only in monetary issues does it say that if the government has certain regulations, so based on that, you would have to follow the law of the land anyway. First, I'll give you an example. In Torah law, if a kid under Bar Bas Mitzvah damages your property, they don't have to pay. Neither does the parent. If a kid takes a rock and breaks down your house window, your car window, halachically, you don't have to pay. But halachically, you do have to pay. Why? Because Dina de Malchus Adina says parents are responsible for the children. Right? So then Torah law says they don't have to pay, but then Torah says, but if the law of the land says you have to pay, then you have to pay. That's the way, but that's only in monetary laws. It's not against any, if the government says anti-shechita bill, you know, that you can't shecht meat, that doesn't mean you can eat meat without shechting. It's a whole different thing. And then the Torah says like this, Umiyad ben Nechor, from the hand of a goy, Leisakrivu eslechem alakechem mikol eila. Now the din is, if a goy did bring a korban, you accepted the korban. A goy was allowed, an non-Jew was allowed to bring a korban in the Beis HaMikdash. It was a clear halach. But the Torah is saying over here, that if a non-Jew brings a blemished animal, then you're not allowed to accept it. And there's a whole story, the Gemara, like, Kamsa bar Kamsa.
A non-Jew can bring the
korban? Yeah, why not? A non-Jew is allowed to bring a korban, providing, you know, the laws of sacrifices are met. They have to be a kosher. He couldn't bring a chazer as a korban. But I'm saying, even if he brought a korban, like the story in Kamsa bar Kamsa, the guy made a blemish in the lip or the eye, that in Jewish law was a blemish, in Goyish law wasn't. So over there, they were allowed to bring. They're allowed to bring a korban.
Why did they bring brought for? What purpose did they bring it for?
They wanted to do something for Hashem. The Gemara says that if the goyim would know what the Beis Hamikdash did for them, the benefit. The Gemara says, if the Goyim would know the benefit that the Beis HaMikdash did for the Goyim, they would have guards around it 24-7, and they would have never, ever allowed it to become destroyed. So they're allowed to bring a Korban. It has to be. But they bring down, Rashi says, from the Medrash, that a Goy can make his own altar and bring a Korban. But as long as they're not missing a limb. But if a guy wants to bring a korban to the Beis HaMikdash, it has to be complete. I mean, all the laws of, let's say a blind animal is not missing an eye, right? So technically, if a guy wanted to build an altar in his backyard and bring his blind animal as a korban, he would be allowed to do it. But in the Beis HaMikdash, then he couldn't bring a blind animal. Okay. A Jew can't, a Goy could. The Torah says clearly, once the Beis HaMikdash was built, you're not allowed to build any altars, only in the Beis HaMikdash. The Torah only forbid a Jew. If a Goy is now in Beverly Hills, a Goy decides, I want to bring a shecht a lamb and bring it as a korban. Okay? I mean, the government might lock you up in jail. But if you want, you build an altar and a guy can bring a korban today.
That's how they barbecue.
Providing it's not missing a limb. But if in the Beis Hamikdash had to be, you know, complete.
Rabbi, so if going back to Ola and Shlomim, so Ola was burnt completely.
Yes.
So today, if you want to make an Ola,
there's no Karbanis today. We don't have a Beis Hamikdash.
No.
Karban Ola is when somebody barbecues or cooks their chicken and they leave it in for too long, and it burns. They could call it a carbon ola, but it's not a carbon. Okay. By the way, mikol ela means if a guy brings a castrated animal, you also can't accept it. Mikol ela from any one of these, ki mashchasem bahem mumbam, because the corruption is in them, which is the blemish. La yiratzu lachem, it would not find favor for you, and therefore wouldn't be allowed to be done. Okay? This ends this thing. Now the Torah continues, and this is a kriya that we do on every Yom Tov. Vaydaber Hashem u'Moshe l'Hashem, spoke to Moshe. Pasuk Chavayim. Shor echase ve'eis ki yivalid. If a bull, a sheep, or a goat is born, and you want to bring it as a carbon, v'ho'yeshivas yamim tachasimei. The animal has to be for 7 days by the mother. And from the 8th day on, Yeratze lekarbon ishel Hashem, is it acceptable as a sacrifice? And this is a very interesting halacha. The Torah says, the youngest age that an animal could be brought as a carbon, it must be 8 days old. Okay? Simply, Tegzer Sakasuv, the Torah says, this is it, it has to be 8 days old. So, the Mefarshim explain like this. Even though, according to Halacha, the Gemara says, an ox, a day old, is called an ox. And a lamb, that a day old, is a lamb. Nevertheless, the Torah says, you need, to, even though these animals are considered halachically, what's called mature at birth, okay, they need to wait until the 8th day. Now, why is it? So there's a few issues over here that Mefarshim discuss. Number one, animals, the first day they're born, are full animals. They have everything in them. People don't. A newborn baby doesn't have teeth, it doesn't have hair, it doesn't, you know, it's missing a lot of things. So l'cha'eda, a person, in fact, the pasuk says, Adam ayir pera yivolid. A person is born a wild mule. That's what the pasuk says. A person is not born a complete person. We're born like a vildechaya. Okay? A person needs to perfect themselves to become a mensch. Animals, on the other hand, are born perfect. Whatever they're going to be, they're going to be. Yeah, they grow. But whatever they're going to be, that's what they are. Okay? This shows, not in a disrespect to people, on the contrary, the Torah says, Mefarshim explains, this is an honor because it shows the ability we have that we take our wild mule inborn nature and we make a person out of it. Animals don't change. What they are, they are. A person needs to change. And this is the greatness of a human being, that we do have the ability to change. That's number one. Number two, it says, why does a baby need to be 8 days old? Okay? Number one, they write, maybe it's premature and the baby will die. Okay? Lahavdil, by a person, it's 30 days. When is a human being a viable baby? When they're 30 days old. That's why there's a few dinim that apply to a human baby, 30 days old. Number one, you don't do a pinyan aben. Right? You need to redeem the firstborn kid. You do it on the 31st day. Why don't you do it before the 31st day? Because until a baby is 30 days old, we're not sure he's going to live. So why should I give money to a kohen? Maybe the kids that, God forbid, won't live, and I'll be redeeming a kid that's not alive. Secondly, according to halacha, Jewish law, not goyish law, for a goy it's different. If somebody murders a baby under 30 days old, they do not get capital punishment for murdering a baby, a person. Not that you're allowed to, by the way. Just keep that in mind. Not that you're allowed to, but you don't get capital punishment for killing a baby under 30 days old. If a person kills a baby 31 days old, it's capital punishment just like you kill an adult. Under 30 days, you do not give capital punishment to somebody who murders a baby. Why? A very simple reason. How do we know this baby would have made it to 30 days? How do you know it's a viable baby and you can't kill an adult? You can't give capital punishment on an adult. Maybe the kid wouldn't have lived, maybe he killed a dead baby, so to speak. How do you know he's going to live? So after he's 30 days old, there's a chazakah, established fact that he's a viable baby, he's going to live. Otherwise, you don't know the kid's going to live, so you can't murder somebody. By the way, that only applies to Jews, not to goyim. If a goy murders a baby, 10 days old, 5 days old, for that matter, an abortion, a guy would get killed. Capital punishment. A Jew wouldn't. Because the whole concept of 30 days and all that applies only to Jews.
So does it only apply to Jewish babies as well? If a Jew killed a non-Jewish baby that was under 30 days?
No, if a Jew killed a baby, no, because by the punishment for a Jew is only when it's a certain amount. In other words, all amounts are given only to Jews, not to goyim. To give you an example, a goy can't eat avim and achai, live them off an animal. It's one of the 7 mitzvahs b'nineir. If a goy eats a crumb, not a bakery crumb, a drop of avim and achai, he would get capital punishment. In order for a Jew to get whipped for eating chazer, they need to eat a kazayas. If you eat less than a kazayas, let's say 1 ounce, it's forbidden, but you don't get lashes. A goy, if they eat something they're not allowed to eat, even the smallest amount, they would get killed. Amounts, the shiurim, were given only to Jews, not to goyim. It's halacha and Moshe Mitzrayim. They were given. In fact, we mentioned this not long ago. It's connected to last week's parsha, Vayishlach, that we just read. Yeah. When is a Jewish kid obligated to mitzvahs? Bar and bas mitzvah, right? What age is a goyish kid obligated in the mitzvahs? Is it also bar and bat mitzvah? What age is a goy obligated? If a goy transgresses one of the 7 night laws, they get killed, yeah? At what age do they start getting killed? Why? They say Nimapitom. Why? Huh? So the din is, it depends from where we learn out that a Jew is bar mitzvah 13. Where does it say in Chumash that the kid becomes bar mitzvah 13? What does it say? It says in Chumash anywhere.
Not specifically.
Shimon and Levi. Last week's parsha, it says, Vayikach shnei b'nei Yaakov, Shimon v'Levi, achei dina, ish charbei. Says, the 2 sons of Yaakov, Shimon and Levi, the brothers of Dina, each man, ish, charbei. Okay? And the Gemara said, the Medrash says that Levi, at that time, was 13. And the Torah calls him ish. So what are you, a man? At 13. Women, compliment the women for a second. Women become bat mitzvah at 12. Why? Because it says, Bina yaseida nitna be'isha yoisimi be'ish. Women have greater intuition in the Bina more than men. So if men become bar mitzvah, 13 women become bat mitzvah at 12. Okay? That's one source of bar mitzvah at 13. Another source of bar mitzvah at 13 is Hashem said to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, your bar mitzvah at 13. What's the difference between these two opinions? Okay, this is Rashi, by the way, in Pirkei Avos, that says both opinions, the Tshuva Sarosh. A lot of different commentators discuss, where do we learn out? The Mishnah says, at the end of the fifth parak, Ben Shleish Asrei Lemitzvahs. Right, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos says bar mitzvah is 13. So the Mepharshim discuss, where do you learn it out from? What's the difference? The difference is a very interesting difference. When does a guy become bar mitzvah? If you learn it out that the Torah calls Shimon and Levi ish, right? That means a man is 13, so a guy, a man is also 13. If you learn it out from Halacha L'Moshe Sinai, that's only given to Jews, not to goyim. So according to that opinion, when would a guy be liable for transgressing one of the seven night laws? Depending on the kid, when he's old enough to understand what he's doing, it could be 6, 7, 12, 18, 20, when he's old enough to understand what he's doing, that's when he becomes liable. So two goyim can have different times. You know, one could be more mature, less mature. That, if you learn it out, according to the Halacha L'Moshe Sinai reason. So, there is a concept, how do we get into this, I remember. But anyway, how do we get into this? Oh, about a guy killing somebody, yeah. So 30 days, normally, for a person, viable birth is 13. I mean, I'm sorry, 30 days. So some of us learn, why does an animal need to be 8 days old before you could bring it for a carbon? Because the animal needs to be a viable life. When is an animal viable? After 7 days. That's what some of us learn. In Zohar it says a whole different thing. It says in the Zohar, why is the bris on the 8th day? Okay, Hashem said so. Why? Because Hashem says, a baby, in order to have a bris, has to live through a Shabbos first. A baby needs to live through Shabbos. Why? Shabbos is a testimony that God created the world. Right? God created the world. So therefore, Shabbos gives validity to the universe. So before a baby can have a bris, and 8 days old, Hashem says, I need you to live through a Shabbos. So therefore, the baby is 8 days old, so for sure live through a Shabbos. The Zohar says the same thing as with an animal. An animal, in order to be a kosher korban, needs to live through a Shabbos. So the Torah says, 8th day onward, you can bring it as a korban. Until then, no. So that's why the Torah says it should be shivas yom tachas imay under the mother, and miyem hashmini va'ala, and that from the 7th day onward yirotz lekarbni shel Hashem. Now the Mefarshim just point out another interesting thing. The Koyoker says, why does the Torah mention these three things? Sher, a chesef, a eiz. Okay. So it says like this. This corresponds to Avram, Yitzchok, and Yaakov. By Avram Avinu, it says, El HaBakar Rotz Avram. You know, when the angels came, he ran to the Bakar, to the cattle. Shur is cattle. Okay? Yitzchak, because he offered himself as a korban, right, which is like tzein, and Yaakov, when he went to get the bracha from Yitzchak, he brought two gedoye izim, two goats. You know, Rivka made him the food, that he should give Yitzchak the food and then, you know, get the brachas instead of Esav. So by Avram is the concept of sherd, by Yitzchak is the concept of kesev, and by Yaakov Avinu is the concept of Esav, a goat. And therefore the Torah speaks about the patriarchs Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, and therefore we cannot bring offerings to the Beis HaMikdash unless if these conditions are met. Has to be at least 8 days old. From the 8th day on, Yerotze, then it's acceptable as a carbon tashen. Then the Torah says, and we're just going to start this, Vishar Esev, an ox, a bull, or an ox, or a sheep, Esev as b'nei, leisishchatu b'yem echad. You cannot shecht it and its son the same day. And by the way, this is not even by a carbon. You're not allowed to shecht a mother and its baby on the same day.
Wow.
And therefore, even though it says, Eisei ve'ez b'nai, the Gemara learns out it means the mother and the child. If you know who the father is of the animal, because that's impossible to, you know, who's... Well, if you have two animals, male and female, independent, they give birth, so obviously you know who the father is. But if you know who the father is, you cannot shecht Eisei ve'ez b'nei b'yem echad. And therefore there's a din, even in halacha, that if you sell a family member, a mother animal, and you're selling another family member, the kid, you have to tell them that they can't shecht the animal the first day, on the same day. And it doesn't matter which one comes first. If you shecht the kid first, you can't shecht the mother. If you shecht the mother first, you can't shecht the kid.
And that's for their entire lives?
On the same day.
But for their, like,
yeah.
2 years, 5 years, or whatever.
Yeah, but if you shecht one today, one tomorrow, it's not a problem. You can't shecht them both the same day.